The second half of KHOI's Capital Week is a recording of the May 24, 2021 meeting of the Ames League of Women Voters. It began with League of Women Voters President Linda Hagedorn moderating a discussion with Amy Campbell, who lobbies for the League through the Advocacy Cooperative, a collaboration of public interest groups. Later in the program, you will hear questions from Susie Petra, as well as background comments from State Senator Herman Birnbach.
We did finish up last night shortly before midnight. That had been after 3 days of 18-hour days. I know it is probably the meanest session I've ever been through. This is my 30th legislative session. So, you know, the last 19 days that we were in overtime was, I would call it a family feud between the House and the Senate. There was open hostilities between the Republican-controlled House and the Republican-controlled Senate over priorities and what they needed to have in the packages to close down session. And you listen to any of the debates during those final days, you heard it in some of the comments that were being made, particularly over in the House, you know, talking about being rolled by the Senate all the time. And so it was a really tough session. So I'm glad to see it done. I'm going to kind of just really quickly go through all of the priorities. I'm going to align some of what happened with our league priorities. And then, of course, I can talk about anything else. Our first priority this year was to protect our redistricting process. And all I can say is so far, so good. I got a little bit of a pang in my stomach over it because of how mean the session was. I'm a little nervous about just how much people want to push the process. But when it's like every 10 years, I go back and look at our code on it, and it's pretty impermeable. I mean, you really do have to follow all of the rules that are set out in there. And they've thought of everything when they put this together. We think now that August is the time when we'll get the raw data in. And we're lucky here in Iowa, we have three people who have been through, two of them have been through, this will be their third redistricting process. And the fourth is, this will be their fourth, or the third person there, it'll be their fourth redistricting process here in Iowa. So they know what they're doing. And it didn't bother them to hear it was coming in old format. They said they've dealt with that before, so they can deal with that again. So they think it'll be about a week or two before they, when they get the information to be able to come up with those first maps. And so if we do that in August, and the legislature wants to meet that constitutional deadline of September 1, I don't think they can go to a third plan, which is the first amendable plan. I think you have to pick the first or second one. And, you know, having gone through a few of these, it's pretty interesting to watch how people start to flake off when you see where, who you're paired in with, or if you're spared being paired in with somebody. And so I think it becomes really hard because people start thinking of themselves, not just the overall, if you want to gerrymander. And so I think time is on our side. I will tell you, I was on caucus staff in 1991 when Gary Kaufman, the league member from Des Moines, who passed a couple of years ago, he did this by hand. No computers. So we've come a long way in that time. But we are hearing August special session to do that. So more to come on that. Voting rights wasn't even on our agenda this year because we figured what else could they do? Guess what? They did early on. And then last night they pulled out some new changes that showed up, I think, about 9 o'clock at night last night, and then was passed. You know, previously, they shortened the early voting period. They changed the requirements so your ballots have to be received before the polls close. So no postmarks anymore after we went up through all that process to get those postmarks and the coding right. We are now going to require them to be in hand. restrictions on all kinds of restrictions on county auditors. I mean, I don't even think they have any kind of local control anymore after all of the changes that they made this year. The one that they changed last night, they allow a county auditor to reject a petition for satellite voting locations based on a couple different criteria, cost and staffing. I don't know that that's going to be an issue, but it could be if people have the signatures to get a satellite voting location and they say no. With these shortened periods, we're going to have to do a lot of education on this. The biggest issue is that they did do a little bit of a fix last night, but it is not good enough on who can handle, deliver, or put your ballot in a mailbox. It has to be a member of your immediate family, somebody that lives with you. And last night they added, if you are somebody with a physical disability or are blind, you can have somebody fill out a form that allows them to take it to the post office. So you can't just ask your neighbor, hey, are you going to the post office? Or are you going downtown? Can you take my ballot in for me? Honestly, I know a lot of families, they trust their neighbor or their friend more than they trust their family member with their ballot. So that's really unfortunate. And it's a felony if you do that. If I took my mom's neighbor's ballot in, I could be charged with a felony. It's a little ridiculous. They also added any nonpartisan political group or a partisan political group from outside the state can have standing to challenge our laws. That's a pretty big change that's never been discussed before 9 o'clock last night. And then there's the purging of the ballot boxes, which everybody that passed that bill or supported that bill said it's not a purge. We're just putting them on the inactive rolls. Well, it's another name for that. So that's why I call this purging, but it's purging. Natural resources and environment. Obviously, a lot of our energies went into the bottle bill this year. That was pretty time consuming. We came about as close as ever to getting a changes to the bottle bill. And actually, they were starting to shift a little bit toward a more common sense approach than what I've seen in the past. Ultimately, it didn't happen, and largely because the distributors and the redemption centers are starting to come together to develop an overall plan on how they can do this, and using the distributors' investments, that is, those fees that aren't, you know, the redemptions that aren't being claimed, to try to develop something, an infrastructure ahead of any changes so that there are alternatives to grocery stores. Of course, the downside is they didn't change the handling fee, which has to happen for some of those investments to be ongoing. So I think you will start to see something happening over this summer. They just started having those conversations, but also a part of that discussion was making some criminal penalties for those individuals or those the fairways of the world that aren't complying with the law. You know, they had some pretty significant penalties in there, and that's not there. I guess somebody could do a class action suit against them if that's where they shop. REAP was level funded, but they did extend it for another 3 years to fiscal year 2026. It was set to expire in 2023. So that's good to get ahead of that. There was some efforts to do soil health initiatives, and those died pretty early in the session. No strategies on climate change, no surprise there, but they did allocate $11 million for renewable fuels, but that's mainly the ethanol stuff. They did not get the Farm Bureau did not get the ethanol percentage changes that they wanted. There were also some changes on forestry land tax credits and the land donations, like when you put your charitable land contributions, put it aside and conservation set aside. They were trying to get rid of that. I find it interesting that we're all about property rights, unless it's donating your land into some kind of a perpetual conservation status. No changes to water quality. We're just status quo there. No changes in government accountability. It was one of those, I put a thumbs down because I'm still annoyed we can't get amendments until a bill is on the floor. You can't see amendments when they're voting on them in committee, and it's just tough, particularly when you're not actually in the room and you need to have things online. So that was our request there, and that didn't happen. But I do think that there were a lot of more opportunities for citizen access this year where you all could listen to what's happening by dialing in, outside of the few people that decided to be jerks about it and do something online that might make that not a possible future option. But I do think that there's a lot of opportunities there to continue to have those subcommittee meetings online so that people don't have to travel to Des Moines to participate in those discussions. And I think a lot of people are trying to talk to legislators from all kinds of backgrounds to try to talk to them about that. Bad on criminal justice reform. We backed the blue. We have qualified immunity. We increased penalties for rioting to felonies. They didn't do anything on the voter restoration. They did kill the death penalty early on. We barely got by with the anti-LGBTQ+ legislation. There was still that trans, and bathroom bills discussion. The divisive topics, which I know you all have heard a ton about, people just getting upset that their kids are hearing that America is a racist country and that there's institutional racism. And so they want to stop that from happening in schools. Yet they want to have free speech on campuses and they don't want Facebook editing what they're saying. It's that you can probably tell from my tone is personally just really tough for me to have listened through these discussions and hear people talk about how we can't talk about the origins of slavery and what that has done to the people now that are Black and brown. And that we're not allowed to recognize that and recognize our role in that and come to terms with how we need to change our attitudes. But, we heard a lot about that from the anti-1619 curriculum, that there was a bill early on that would have banned the use of that award-winning curriculum that does do that. They tried to designate political views as a protected class. That died, although it kept coming up over and over again. Up until the last day, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, the one where you don't have to bake cakes for gay people, that died, although that was up there and in the mix until the very end. You can hit click. I think the one good thing's going to come up if you hit a couple clicks of the button. There was a change that, just going back, there was a bail forfeiture bill that gave 60 more days to return a defendant to court and allows the court to to consider all the facts before they set aside a judgment. So it's a little bit more friendly process, or gives a little more time for people to turn themselves in. So there's the bad stuff at the top that we were not happy about. Permitless carrying of guns, sort of the honor system on background checks, the restrictions on lawsuits against gun and ammunition manufacturers, the right to bear arms constitutional amendment passed again, the no right to abortion constitutional amendment passed, the governor couldn't get her contraceptive coverage legislation passed because groups feel that contraception is abortion. I'm not lying on that. There was a bill that would have funded specialty courts like mental health courts and drug courts with a tax on those glass pipes that they sell and say are for tobacco, which everybody knows they're not used for tobacco. It would have funded those for the first time ever, a funding source for specialty courts. Didn't address high prices of prescription drugs, didn't treat vaping the same as smoking. We had the last minute school mask removal, that she signed last night. So my kids had to go to school with a bunch of kids that were wearing masks. Mine did. City and counties can enforce mask mandates in their own property, but no, it can't require anybody else to do that. There was a ton of anti-vaccine sentiment up there. We ended up with a ban on vaccine passports, which nobody was really talking about. There were actually two bills they couldn't get passed. One is a woman doesn't need her husband's permission to have a hysterectomy, which apparently there are three hospitals that was still the case. And then Senator Sweeney had a bill that brought to her by a constituent whose doctor used his own genetic material to do her in vitro, which is akin to rape, and they didn't even put a felony on that. You get a felony for rioting, but not for having a doctor use his own material to impregnate you. So those bills didn't pass. Mental health parity did. There's a lot of changes ahead on the funding for mental health and disability services that is intended to take the property tax out and create a more equitable funding system. There's a lot of conflicting views on whether that'll actually work. A lot of increases in funding for services. Housing trust funds got increased. There's some sexual assault kit tracking program, human trafficking funding. There was EMS language added last night that gives, I haven't had my chance to look all the way through, but I know that that's a lot of what the EMS folks wanted in terms of taxing authority there. You can go to the next slide, and then I will be super fast because I'm running over. Then we had all the school stuff. Charter schools, yes. Vouchers, no. There's just a continued, taking away of home rule and local discretion at all levels. There was no immigrant or refugee assistance. You heard the governor's comments earlier on that it's not her problem. Childcare, we got half of what the governor had asked for. We do have the childcare cliff where if somebody starts earning a few pennies more in their paycheck, they lose their eligibility entirely. So it's more like a ladder rather than a cliff off of childcare assistance where you gradually come off of that assistance. They added some extra incentives for businesses to put on-site daycare and then expanded the child care tax credit for those families earning up to $90,000 a year. So doubling the amount that you can earn before getting those, while getting those. You can kind of see all of this stuff. Not a lot else on workforce, unfortunately. And then these are just a couple of things that we'll probably be looking at working on over the summer that are still going to be live. So we have some time for questions. I know you guys always have really good questions, so I'm sorry I was talking a lot there. A lot happened this year, amazingly.
Susie Petrie, you have a question?
I do. Thank you. I don't remember that the Pledge of Allegiance was something that we were discussing this year.
Yeah, that just showed up in that last bill. I didn't even catch it the first time I read it. And yep. First through 12th grade. I don't think my daughter in high school does the pledge every morning. I'll have to ask her.
It's in there.
Yeah. You know, Senator Kornbach will know way more about all the educational changes than I do. It was pretty interesting to see how that, that stuff just came. Some things happened early and then a lot of it just bubbled up at the very end too.
So what's the Pledge of Allegiance say? What is it? What happened?
Mandatory for everybody K through or first through 12, but they won't do anything if you object.
Mandatory.
Yeah, it has to be offered. I believe it said daily.
Yeah.
If the student or the parents object, they can't be forced to say the pledge. But then if they're sitting there in their classroom and everybody else is up and pledging, it's a pretty coercive environment.
You can still take a knee, I guess. But you're right. It's peer pressure is pretty tough on those kids. And that's what they're counting on. So you have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but you can't talk about America's racist past.
Amy, thank you for your endurance this year. It's commendable. I think that there's mornings I just wanted to wake up. You'd hear what they did at 10:30 the night before, and you wanted to throw up beside your bed before you got up. So I just thought about you being there every day. And so I really want to thank you. And I knew you fought for us all the time for the league. So.
Thanks, guys. It's glad we're a team effort, and you probably should say the same thing to Senator Kornbach and the rest of your delegation. I don't know how they survive this is Amy talking, not your lobbyist, but I was talking to the psychologist that I work with. I represent the Psychology Association, and we have a Friday meeting every so often. And I was describing how angry and aggressive and mean-spirited and retributional the Senate leadership in particular is, and yet so thin-skinned. And then they told me that I just described toxic masculinity. So there you go.
There are a few females who are equally toxic. Let's be even-handed about this.
Yep.
One of the interesting things that we actually heard from someone who was in the room, the Republican senators have been ordered by their leadership never to vote for a single Democratic amendment on any bill, on penalty that the leadership will recruit somebody to run against them in a primary.
Don't for crying out loud.
Yeah, you guys know my business partner has a partisan past, and I have a partisan past, and I don't think we wear those on our sleeves at the Capitol at all. I mean, he works just as well with the Republicans as I do with the Democrats as well as I do with the Republicans. But he and another Republican lobbyist that I know of were basically told that their entire slate of issues is in trouble because of their representation of Democratic clients. And they called into question their loyalty to their party, which I can't imagine having that happen. I think they were doing it to a lot of people, not just their own members, but the lobby too. And that's not how you run government.
I had not heard that.
Susie, you have another question?
I do, another one. Reading over your list, I'm still not quite clear on Iowa's ability to include 1619.
Oh, so that bill did die, mentioning it specifically, but then the divisive topics one basically says you have to be careful. You can't talk about racism and sexism in a way that is un-American is the only way I can describe it. If you go in and read that bill, it kind of gives you the whole criteria of what you have to kind of comply with. And then there's some training required on how, teachers. Senator Kornbach probably knows more of the details about how that was implemented.
The version in the Senate, which combined the required free speech training, which frankly we do need, we've all heard of the incidents on the various campuses. The one at Iowa State, an instructor told her students that she would not accept term papers or projects on certain topics if they took certain particular points of view. I mean, blatant violation of the students' academic freedom. So I'm sorry, there are some of our liberal friends who need a little more schooling in the First Amendment. The diversity part of the Senate bill, and those were combined in the Senate, only applied to mandatory diversity training for people in leadership positions, decision-making positions. It did not affect any classwork, contrary to some claims that had been made by some people. The House separated those two parts into two different bills, and the free speech training passed unanimously in the Senate and with only one dissenting vote, I think, in the House. So the good part went through. Unfortunately, they made the bad part worse, because then they brought in a curriculum, not just mandatory training for a few leaders. And when they did that, the irony is you do one bill to promote free speech and another bill that prohibits curriculum. It was just head spinning. They were specifically from the House. They were specifically going after the Ames Black Lives Matter week, as well as the 1619. And, you know, I don't know every element of those curriculums, but really what you should be doing is training kids to be critical thinkers.